Hey, Katie Couric is out with her new tell-all book, and industry insiders are saying she is really telling all, casting then colleagues from back in the day like Deborah Norville in a bad light. She's admitting to negative thoughts and actions about others in the industry. She dishes on big names she interviewed, people she interviewed as well, like Prince Harry said he showed up to the interviews reeking of cigarette smoke and alcohol, and she goes on and on. One of the people she calls out is Ashley Banfield. Ashley Banfield, then a rising star, now a star at News Nation. She has her own show at 9 p.m. Central on News Nation. She called her out and said that I was freezing her out because of it would have been career, what did she say, self-sabotage to allow her to continue to excel. And Ashley has, I mean, I give you credit, Ashley, you've come out and responded to it, and you've been very gracious in your responses. Thanks for coming on with me here.
Oh, hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
What do you think, Ashley, to hear about this? I mean, okay, let's take us back to then. Your 9/11 coverage, many of us will recall, it just stood out from the pack. It was powerful. You were just as good as anyone could be at that moment in time when the whole nation was crushed. You were rewarded. You had your own new NBC show. You were a rising star there. And here you hear the top female star at the network saying, well, I didn't want her to do so well.
Yeah, it's hard to hear that. And I'll be honest with you, it's hard to hear it because as I look back at that time, things couldn't have been going better. I was at the top of my game. The press was, you know, all over me with great attention. I was on Leno and Letterman and The Daily Show. And then all of a sudden it just ended and I was canceled and I was, you know, really treated in a bizarre way by NBC. They took away my phone, my desk, my office. They told me for 10 months I could sit at desks where someone else, was away for the day. And then for the last 7 months of my contract, they gave me they cleared out a tape closet and they wedged a desk in there and they said, you can sit there for the duration of your contract. And I never got an explanation. And it haunted me and tormented me. I'm not going to lie, for 20 years, it still hurts the way I was thrown out because I loved that place. I loved my colleagues. I loved NBC. I wanted to die there. I just loved it. I loved saying that I work with Katie Couric. I loved saying that I work with Tom Brokaw. And I never, ever got a good explanation as to why it all ended so quickly and so unceremoniously.
And it really was that fast. You were just the rising star, and then boom, you weren't.
Yeah, it came out of the blue. I remember the it was autumn of 2002. I had come back from being on the road for almost a year doing war coverage and had been to Afghanistan and Syria and Lebanon and West Bank and Gaza and Saudi Arabia and Iraq. And there was a summer bus tour that, you know, was around America that, was taking the temperature of the United States leading up to the first anniversary of 9/11. And, you know, the ratings on the show dipped on that. But, you know, that'll happen. You come back from a huge story that's, you know, America at war. And then another story broke, and it was the D.C. sniper story. And I had the show on the road there as well. And again, the ratings were really big. But then out of the blue, I was told Friday's your last show. And I just, I couldn't, I was bewildered. And I thought I'd get something else, or I thought there'd be some answer, some resolution, but it has remained a mystery ever since.
And now the mystery, is it solved? Was Katie Couric behind it?
I don't know. I'm not prepared to make that definitive link. I have to say that hearing her admit that she felt that way about me, really was a gut punch. And I don't know. That's all I can say is I don't know, but it would be so sad if that were why.
Yeah, it would. Having been in television myself, it's painful to think that the senior women within the organization would be doing something to sabotage the younger women coming up in the industry or a man or any scenario, really. But back then, Katie was a trailblazer in many ways, and she, you know, she was respected by so many. And for her to come through with this admission and say, look, I had to kind of freeze her out. I had to go after her because it would have been self-sabotage to not do that. Look, do you give her any credit for coming out and being real about it, or what? What do you what's at play here? What's she doing?
Well, two things. Number one, I was her number one fan, and I still am. I believe there has never been anyone on morning television as talented and brave as Katie. Let's not forget that Katie was authentic. And up until then, women weren't authentic. They right. tried to be female Cronkite. Otherwise, people would call them bimbos. I was called bimbo way too often in the 80s and the 90s. Mm-hmm. So women had to put on an extra tough air on camera to be given what they called gravitas, some crappy, you know,
some consultant-driven term that came out of something.
Yeah. You don't have enough gravitas. Lower your voice and, you know, put on bigger shoulder pads, whatever it was. So in that respect, I looked at her and her commitment to being who she was mm-hmm. and laughing and smiling and being kind and lovely and fun as just the most trailblazing, remarkable development in television that I'd ever seen, and I wanted to be exactly like her. I wanted to follow in her shoes. I also admired so many of the interviews that she did. I mentioned the one in Columbine. It brought me to tears. I collapsed on my floor in tears watching that interview, and that is not hyperbole. So, there I was looking at this woman who I so valued and right. so admired. But at the same time, and I'm going to say that in the 90s, television was crappy to women. So I don't care mm-hmm. if you were being paid $15 million or $20 an hour. If you were on camera, you always had the feeling that you had a real short shelf life. So if she felt that way, even at that massive salary and that incredible stature, if she felt that way, you know, I understand it. I think all women felt that way. I don't think anybody felt safe, no matter who you were or what stature you had.
I don't know if you watched The Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, but it just seems like it's real. Does that reflect that? Do you see any realness in that, Ashley? Does that speak to you?
Yeah, and listen, I've seen bits and pieces of realness in every single TV and movie production I've ever seen, from Holly Hunter in Broadcast News right. to Albert Brooks sweating it out to, you know, what's happening with Reese and Jennifer on the morning show. There are some elements to that. I think there's all sorts of, you know, exaggeration as well, and loads of things that would never happen. But you know, I think overall that the wonderful thing that I have to say that I have discovered in 33 years of being in this business is what I have gained from the women in the business. I have had some of the best colleagues and friends who have given me so much tutelage, advice, chastening me when I needed it, cheering me on when I needed it. And that, you know, that for that, I will forever be so grateful.
Well, I respect you, and I have respected you for many years, and have been floored by your work a number of times, including during 9/11. And I just, you're being so gracious, and that's just another reason why we love you, Ashley. Tell us what's coming up on your show tonight so we can watch you. And News Nation, our parent company, of course, next our owns.
So let me tell you something that I have discovered in the last 10 years, and it is very distressing. In the story that we're covering about Gabby Petito, her family has been in just, you know, the worst grief imaginable, right? Inconsolable grief. And they were catapulted into this circumstance, never expecting it, never invited it. And something they also didn't invite was trolls. And this is a new phenomenon. Trolls that come after criminal victims and re-victimize them in the cruelest way. It started, you know, with Newtown, with the parents of Newtown being called out as phonies. And it went on to the Parkland shooting, where the kids were called actors. And now I remember Shanann Watts' family being trolled mercilessly about their dead daughter and grandchildren. And now it's happening to the Petito family. And so I'm going to address this on the program tonight. Like, what happened to us? Who have we become that this is a thing? Trolling victims and pounding them in their worst moments in life. It's
unbelievable.
It's shocking, isn't it? To think that it's a thing at all.
We'll be watching. Ashley, thank you for your candor. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. And we'll be watching tonight at 9 p.m. Banfield airs on News Nation.
Thanks so much.